The opinions and experiences of the interviewee Guy Murphy are his personal experiences and are not intended to be interpreted by our listeners as WSFI in any way endorsing the apparition at Medjugorje or expressing an opinion as to its validity. It is the policy of WSFI to promulgate only apparitions approved by the Catholic Church. And with respect to Medjugorje, the Church has not expressed a ruling on the trustworthiness of the visionaries.
This is WSFI Spotlight, a conversation with Catholics living in the light.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of WSFI Spotlight. I'm your host, Bill Snyder, and on today's episode, we have with us once again Guy Murphy of Totally Yours Pilgrimages. Welcome back, Guy.
It's great to be here, Bill.
So in the first episode with you, just few weeks ago, we reviewed what a pilgrimage was and the amazing way that people encounter God on the pilgrimages that you put on through Totally Yours Pilgrimages. And we touched base about some of the places, many of the places that you take people all over the world, Rome, the Holy Land, Fatima, Medjugorje, Lanciano. We also discussed that you're a scientist and a chemical engineer who was a robotic Catholic and had a conversion on a Medjugorje pilgrimage. Can you tell us briefly and simply what you do as a chemical engineer?
Engineers design, build, and fix things. And different engineers have different specialties. Our particular background was we boil water. So, for example, many of them in Wisconsin, but when making paper, like the regular piece of paper, what you do is you cook wood chips in a chemical, and before you press this resulting pulp into paper, you wash it to remove the impurities. And a number of years ago, what they did is took these washings and they would throw it in the river. And so what we do is we take these washings, it actually has about 15% dissolved wood, and we boil off all the water and concentrate that resulting wood and make a fuel out of it. And what happens is the resulting is they take this and boil it in a recovery boiler, and they generate enough steam and electricity to power not only the entire pulp and paper mill, but the city next to it too. And so I'm a troubleshooting engineer, and when all the alarms go off, they bring me in before the place shuts down or blows up, and they ask me, go find the solution or find the antidote to this problem. So that's what I guess engineers do, and this engineer does anyway.
I think that has some spiritual overtones to it, Guy. I think you when the alarms go off in people's lives, I think you're right there to help them step in on these pilgrimages as well and lead them to Our Lady. I think that has some spiritual overtones.
Oh, praise the Lord.
So, Guy, doesn't it take good grades to be an engineer? You must be a really smart guy.
I don't know about that, because actually, when I was in grade school and high school, I wasn't a very good student. Actually, I was a very poor student. And actually, I was like the lower quarter of my grade, and they were kind of worried about me. And I had this attitude problem. Guess it was kind of a mixture of pride and laziness. I thought all the schoolwork was there just to keep me busy and just to keep me from playing. And so that kind of had it. And my grades kind of reflected my bad attitude. And then one day what had happened, a guy named Carson, who was in our study hall, and he came up with the formula for Snappin' Pops. Now, if you remember those little Snappin' Pops, a weak explosive, you throw it on the ground and makes a little pop.
Yes.
So he had this formula, so we sneak into the Christian Brothers lab, and we start whipping up this formula. And he comes up with it, I look at it, and I go, that's a pile of mud. I had no faith that mud was going to do anything. And he starts scooping out a little of that powder with his pencil, and he starts to move it over a few inches away, and he starts tapping it with the back of his pencil, and all of a sudden, we start hearing the faint pop, pop, pop as his little pile of mud dried. Hmm. And it started increasing our faith, and then all of a sudden, as it was drying more and more, he was making actually an inadvertent fuse going from his little pile to his place where he was hitting it, and then he hit it, it popped, and what happened? It ignited the fuse. And both of our faces were very close, looking at the beauty of this burning fuse. And what happened? It went right to the big pile, and kapow! It blew up right in our faces there. And my left ear was ringing, and in my right ear, I hear Brother Tom coming to the door. I hear his footsteps come to the door. And anybody caught with fireworks in high school gets automatically expelled. What did I do? I just ruined my life. My parents said if we ever got expelled, they're just going to send us right to the coal mines, and that's going to be it for the rest of our life. And he comes in, he says, what's happening? And I kind of go in shock. I don't say anything. And my friend calmly says, oh, I had this big book, and it slipped out of my hands. It dropped on the floor. Brother doesn't buy it for a minute. He goes, oh, a big book, was it? So he starts walking around the room looking for the evidence to get rid of us. So he's walking around the room. All of a sudden, when this thing blew up, powder spread all over the room. And as he's walking around the room, under his shoes, we could hear the little pop, 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 pop. And I heard it. I'm thinking, oh, no, he found it. We're doomed. And all of a sudden, this brother, he had a hearing aid, but fortunately, he couldn't hear too well. So this convicting evidence, he wasn't aware as he's looking for the paper. Now, as both of us are looking at his feet popping, my friend looked at me out of the – I could see him in the corner of my eye looking towards me. And if I looked back, I would bust out laughing. Now, due to lack of maturity or whatever, I would laugh uncontrollably at the most little things. And so this fear of being thrown out of school was growing in my heart, plus the fear of laughing was growing inside of me, and it really kind of had me go into kind of shock. And Lily, brother, came right into my face, and he says, what are you doing in my lab? And I look at him and says, what a tough question. I can't answer. And I said a prayer. I said, dear God, I beg you, I'll do whatever you say for the rest of my life. Please get me out of this mess. And all of a sudden, just a moment later, he stopped his investigation, just threw us out and says, don't ever come here again. And he threw us out, but I'll tell you, I left. But what happened was, before that, chemistry was just all these nonsense formulas. But now I experienced what it was all about. And it changed my attitude. And as my attitude changed, I applied it to a new reverence. And I saw that the formulas weren't there to keep me busy, but was helping me to come up with gasoline for our cars, rockets for our fuels. It was going to power the nation. So I had this new fascination. Now, slowly, this changed my attitude, and very slowly, it changed my grades. And of all the things I graduated with chemical engineering, and that's how it came about. But I knew, looking back, that one fateful day of my conversion took place in that lab.
That is such a great story. And I want to ask you a little bit now how that applies to your religious conversion, because there's a lot of those same themes, right?
Yes, very good. So now here we are back in Medjugorje, where I have this attitude about the Catholic faith. I was robotic. I just went through that, but I had no respect for I thought it was all there just to keep me busy. And everything was confusing about the faith, but particular Marian devotion seemed silly to me. I had this attitude. I pray to God myself. What do I need her for? And that rosary, that silly prayer for little old ladies, what about us engineers? I had that attitude at the time. So I took my attitude to this prayer. I said it on Mount, climbed up Mount Križevec, gets by this big 14-ton cross. And I took my attitude to Our Lady, and I had to pray to her. So I looked at her like how the alleged visionaries, let's say, describe her as a beautiful 20-year-old woman with long black hair, blue eyes, rosy cheeks, just a nice little girl. So I talked with her like I talked to any 20-year-old girl. My first prayer I said to her was, hey, Mary. I go, it's me, Guy. I go, I'm here from Chicago. I go, I tell you what, give me your best shot. I tell you what, I'm going to give you my best shot. If you win, I'll do whatever you say. If I win, I'm going to defeat Medjugorje. And I start giving myself a pat on my back. And I felt in my heart that this challenge was accepted. And now I zip down the mountain. Look, I'm thinking I'm going to get a miracle or whatever. The next day, we all come out of the Mass. The day was December 8th, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. We come out of the 12 o'clock Mass. It's almost 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And what happens? They all start seeing the miracle of the sun. And I go, oh, great. It's going to happen while I'm here. I look up, and what does it do? It burns my eyes. It's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I says, there's got to be a logical explanation for this. I got it. They're standing over there in front of the church. I happen to be off in the side yard at the time. I was digging up holes in the side yard because that's how I spend half the trip. And I go, I'm at a bad angle. I can't see the laser show. So I walk closer to them, and I looked up, and what happens? It burns my eyes again. There's a logical explanation. I got sensitive eyes. I put my sunglasses on, look up again, burns my eyes again. So I'm really puzzled, and I start wondering. Then I finally remembered. I remember from physics, even if anybody has a solar light coming on there, it won't stop the retina from getting burned by the radiation. I have it figured out. I'm the only idiot who's really looking at the sun. All these people must be squinting. So I walked around on the other side, and I looked right into their eyes, and what happened? Their eyes were wide open. And now my brain could not handle this. I said, something, there's a logically, something must be blocking the sun that right time. I turned up, burned my eyes again. And I got caught in this, there's a logical explanation for this, but I end up, keep on looking up the sun till it burned, my eyes burned so bad, I just had to get out of there. I left, literally walking down the road, so confused. I was doing one of these, my name is Guy Murphy, I live at 22W110 Foster Avenue. They should be blind for as long as they could see it. I should be blind. And I was repeating my name and address. That's how rattled I was. As I was walking down the street, I started tripping in potholes, and I bounced off a sign. At the same time, I'm saying, I should be blind for as long as I've seen it. As I hit the sign, I said, uh-oh, I have these big black spots in my eyes. I go, great, I'm blind. And now I just started thinking, you know, my parents were telling me not to go to Medjugorje. All my engineering friends are going to tell me not to go. I'm going to come back home. They go, how was your trip? I'm going to say, hi, I'm blind. I go, oh, no, everybody who should have known better. It should have been me, of all people. So mad. I go, how could I have done such a stupid thing? So I started kicking myself all the way around Medjugorje as being the most dumbest thing in the world to ever do. And after a while, my eyes don't clear up. So then I start saying my favorite prayer to God. Dear God, I'll do whatever you say for the rest of my life. Please, mm-hmm. give me my sight. So I kept on walking, and I went all the way around. There's just one big road around Medjugorje, and I climbed up this apparition hill. That's the place where Our Lady had first appeared to the six visionaries. And I was sitting down on rocks. I even fell a couple times on the way up there, and I'm all full of dirt. And I don't see her with my eyes or hear with my ears. And I'm still sitting down trying to figure out what's happening about in front of that church. And something strange starts going to my heart. It was as if she was there brushing me off and saying, Jesus forgives. Jesus forgives. Jesus forgives. She even helped me to my feet and says, Jesus forgives. She says, do you want to help? And I said, sure. And with that, I felt a kiss right in my forehead. Now, if you look at the sun, your eyes not only burn, you'll get a pain in the bridge of your nose. And this pain felt so bad, it felt like somebody took a baseball bat and whacked me one right in the head. Now, when I felt this kiss, I got a tingling feeling, and all at once, my eyes cleared up and this pain left me, and wow. I could see again. And I was just all happy, and I was ran through the field just going, yes, yes, yes. And I went home. And although I thought it might be the end of the journey, it actually wasn't. It was just the beginning.
Wow. For our listeners, you are listening to the voice of Guy Murphy with Totally Yours Pilgrimages. We do have to take a brief break here on WSFI Spotlight. We'll be right back to continue this amazing story, an amazing conversion experience that Guy is having and sharing with us here on WSFI Spotlight. Right back after this. Stay tuned. I'm Bill Snyder, your host.
Bishop George Rassus speaking. I live in Libertyville, Illinois, in the Archdiocese of Chicago. Jesus and the apostles had the spoken word one-on-one, and yet through radio and the magic of electronic media, we can reach all kinds of people instantly. And so the message is as important or more important than ever in our world today, and I hope that many of us will listen and learn and come close to the Lord each and every day. God bless you.
WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio is committed to bringing quality Catholic programs to our local community. We only can do that with your financial support. Take a moment now to donate online at wsfiradio.org or mail your tax-deductible donation to WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois 60048. That's WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois 60048. Donations of any amount are greatly appreciated. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to this episode of WSFI Spotlight. I'm your host, Bill Snyder. We're continuing our conversation with Guy Murphy of Totally Yours Pilgrimages, and Guy has been sharing with us his amazing conversion story. It just is an awesome experience to be sitting here listening to this, and I'm sure for you at home it's the same way. You left us with sight restored after saying this prayer, I will do anything, you restore my sight, and then you fly home back to Chicago from Medjugorje, and what happens next?
What happened is I get home, and I'm still the same person, but there was definitely a little attitude adjustment in that as well. And now I have no doubt even in my heart that I thought Medjugorje was true, and those the fundamentals of the Catholic faith were very important that she's talking about, which I didn't have that appreciation before. But I still thought the rosary was this little old lady prayer. So I got home and I go, you know, she won fair and square. I said, if you win, I'll do whatever you say. And so I have to pray it whether I think it's silly or not. So I started praying the rosary. I'd be saying my Hail Marys, and I'd say, Hail Mary, full of grace. And after a couple Hail Marys, it was the repetition of it. I started saying, Hail Mary, full of grace, this is an insult to my intelligence. Hail Mary, full of grace, this is an insult to my intelligence. And I had this attitude problem still. And then what happened was I would relive that experience where the sun would be blinding my eyes. I feel completely humiliated, like my life is over. And all of a sudden I'd look up and I'd say, okay, I'm praying. Because it turned back, when I got home, I thought I knew the first two things about the Catholic faith. The first was, you don't go up on top of Mount Krishvik and give the Blessed Mother any lip. That made sense. I didn't know that before. I know that now. And the second thing is, one of the truths of our faith, which they point out as being important, was even though we don't think so, Jesus and Mary are very close to each and every one of us. So what we have to do is open up our hearts, and we realize by our hearts that they're there and how much they love us. So I get back from Medjugorje, it's like looking through a two-way mirror. This presence is so obvious, but I'm still the same guy. I'm still this bad attitude guy, but now I know they're there in my heart. I could like almost see them there. And now I know when I relive this experience where I'm feeling completely humiliated, she's doing that. And I look up there, I go, okay, I'm praying. So this doesn't go on for one or two days. This goes on for every day for 3 months. And at the end of 3 months, start out okay, I'd be praying my rosary, maybe get to a decade, and all of a sudden, in Hail Mary, full of grace, this is an insult of my intelligence. I would relive that experience. I start saying, cut that out, Blessed Mother. I go, I can't help it if this is a silly prayer. I go, look at this. And somebody gave me a rosary pamphlet, and I slapped it on the ground. Look at this. First joyful mystery, the Annunciation. Fruit of the mystery, humility. What does humility have to do with the Annunciation? I don't get it. Humility is what you did to me in Medjugorje. No, you bopped me in the head just like David bopped Goliath in the head. And then the light went on. And I remember a lot of times as you started learning about the faith, how the Old Testament just foreshadows the truths. They're really things that happened in the Old Testament where they foreshadowed the truths of the new Catholic faith. For example, the Passover lamb just foreshadowed Jesus being the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Another example, when Abraham goes to sacrifice his son Isaac, he says God himself will provide the victim from the sacrifice. And then what does he find? He finds a ram with his head caught in the crown of thorns. And that just foreshadows Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, with the crown of thorns on his head. So there's a lot of foreshadowing going on. And now I realize the light went on that the rosary, if you remember David's sling, that little loop that he whipped around and put the stone in, I saw my rosary then, and my rosary was, I see David's sling and my rosary. And I knew those five stones that David went represented the five decades of the rosary. And I kind of knew, just like he swinged it around to hit Goliath, I knew when I pray it, that's what's going to knock all the evil out of my life. And I look at that and I go, wow, I go, you knocked me in the head with that. I go, wow, this is amazing. I know three things about the faith now. The rosary is the true weapon. And as I started patting myself on the back, which is one of those bad habits which took Blessed Mother many years to break of me of that one, but I realized, I said, wait a second, I'm on the wrong side. I'm on the receiving end of this weapon. And that was the thing about going on these pilgrimages. Before going, I go, I'm a good person. If I die, I'm going to go straight to heaven. But in reality, it was 10 years before I'd been to confession since I went to Medjugorje. I had my first confession there in 10 years. And I realized my soul is in the state of mortal sin. And I knew things had to change. And as the more I learned about the faith, I started learning more and more. Uh-oh, this is mortal sin. All of a sudden, I'm always on the wrong side. But the Blessed Mother, she's good and she works with you. She even helps you change those poopy diapers. Poopy sinful diapers of sin, I should say, and get you through those things, even though you're struggling through the faith. So we praise the Lord for that. And while I'm out there, I also wrote a letter to my engineering friends. And I go, they're no dummies. They're going to have to hear about this. They'll figure it out themselves. And I started trying to evangelize them a little bit. And there was something else. So another one of the messages that I had read, which was very puzzling. She said, the Mass is the holiest of all the moment. At that moment, Jesus Christ becomes alive, and we're to receive him in our hearts. And I knew at that moment they're saying the Eucharist was God, Jesus Christ, and the appearance of bread. And I'm like, what? Isn't that just a symbol? I couldn't conceptualize that. I grew up Catholic, went to Catholic grade school, high school. I go, as an engineer, I have to do all these called heat mass balance. I have to keep track of all the energy that's going on in the systems. How could something more powerful than a firecracker being going into my body every Sunday, more powerful than a nuclear bomb, more powerful than the sun, God himself is coming in my body every Sunday? I have no clue. There's no way I could miss that. And I was so upset. I go, there's no way, Blessed Mother, you're wrong on this one. And I went out and researched that one myself. And sure enough, as I started researching that, the number one thing in our faith, the Eucharist, is God. John chapter 6, you want to live forever? Eat my flesh, drink my blood. It's me. I'm alive.
Right.
And then in the Last Supper accounts in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he makes it the new covenant between God and his chosen ones. Like, oh my gosh, she's right again. So I was coming home from that, and I stopped at an adoration chapel. An adoration chapel is this Holy Communion is in a monstrance where people could go and visit and pray and worship. And now I think I have this newfound faith. I go, I'm going to go visit my God now. So I walk into this chapel, and I kneel down, and I look right in the eyes of the host, and I go, wow, you're God there, huh? And I'm looking at him, and I go, uh-oh, I don't get it. I don't see God there. I still see a piece of bread. And then one of the scriptures just kind of echoed right in my heart. It says, this is the will of the Father, that everyone who looks at the Son and believes in him will have everlasting life. And I knew exactly what that meant. I had to look at the host and believe it was him, and I didn't. I thought it was just a bread. And I was all fearful. I go, oh no, I'm going to hell again, because every time I learn something, I'm going to hell. So I stood up and I go to run out of this adoration chapel. And it was like the presence of Our Lady was here, grabbing me by the hand. And I don't hear her, but she said, don't think you know everything. Pray that Jesus will give you the grace to understand. So I knelt back down and I said, dear God, I'm sorry I slept in your church for all those 29 years now. I go, please give me the grace to understand. And I knew it was going to take time, like kind of peeling away the skins of an onion. But I knew if I take more visits and keep on doing the spiritual life, I knew it would get clearer and clearer. Anyways, to kind of go on, and I was going to figure, well, that impressed me once. I'm going to go on another pilgrimage to see what happens. So a year and a half later, I go on another pilgrimage, April 91. And this time, one of the engineers came with me. One of the first days, we're out there, and what do we see? We see the miracle of the sun. The sun is dancing and spinning, and it looks like the Holy Communion. If you ever saw a picture of a total eclipse of the sun, instead of a black moon, it looks like the Holy Communion right in front of there. Now, when I looked at that, that helped me understand that the Eucharist is more powerful than the sun. Because you could go on a journey and bring your body halfway around the world, but the longest journey is that 18 inches between your head and your heart. And sometimes the pilgrimages help that 18 inches take place a little bit more. So that's helped me appreciate that was Jesus' true presence in the Eucharist. And later on that evening, my friend starts going, he was trying to digest the events of the day and trying to make sense out of it, why it's a logical explanation. And finally he said, Guy, after a while, he goes, I'm reading a book. And he says, I don't think we saw a miracle. And I go, uh-huh, uh-huh. And he goes, look, we don't try and look at the sun when we're at home. Uh-huh. And it was low enough in the sky, 6:40 p.m., and our eyes happened to adjust to it, made it look like there was this white disk in the sun, and we were able to see it. And I said, uh-huh, uh-huh. He says, I'll have to see it the same time of day and have it burn my eyes before I believe. And I didn't want to let him get away with that, so I said, what did you say, Gerald? I said, say it louder, so Blessed Mother could hear you. And he said it real loud. He goes, I'll have to have it burn my eyes before I believe.
Oh, wow.
The next day, we're in church, and we're praying the rosary, and it's getting the time for the miracle. And he goes, Guy, come on, let's go see the miracle. And I go, that's all right, Gerald. You go right ahead. I'm going to stay here and pray with the weapon here. Go right. So he goes out. I stay for the rosary and the mass. I come out, and I find him on a bench, and he has his hands covering over his eyes. And I went up to him. I go, how you doing, Gerald? And all he could say is, all right, I believe it now. I believe it now. And it wasn't until he got home that he told me that everybody saw the miracle of the sun, and it burned his eyes. And he had a little attitude adjustment as well. See, sometimes the Blessed Mother has to work harder on some of her engineering sons as well. And anyways, to kind of conclude this up to, when I got home, I had a new respect for the Blessed Mother. It's really like the Queen of Heaven, not just kind of some Jewish girl who had her opinion. I had my opinion. And I go, you know everything, Blessed Mother. I go, all right, I'm going to ask you now this. Blessed Mother, where is the tree of life? You know, the tree I was looking for these all these years, I want to eat the fruit and live forever. I go, where do I find it? And in the depths of my heart, she was saying, pray the rosary for all you ask of me. Now, when I say she talks with you individually, what you kind of do is if you're studying for a test, your mind goes blank, and all of a sudden, because you read it before, it kind of comes to your mind. Yes. It's the same kind of thing. You read the scriptures, you read some of the messages, and at the right time, they kind of come into your mind. And it's like a way I think the Holy Spirit kind of speaks to you. So
sure.
She said, pray the rosary for all you. So I didn't like this answer at all, but I started pounding. I go, all right. So I'm praying the rosary. First joyful mystery kind of went okay. Then the second joyful mystery, the visitation.
Yes.
So I'm praying this rosary, and I'm already starting to learn how to meditate more, put yourself in the scene. I mentioned Blessed Mother's on the way, visiting her, going to the hill country, riding a little donkey. She starts looking at the trees, and I start looking at the trees, and I go, ah, the trees. Maybe one of those are the tree of life. I must have missed a clue. What clue did I miss? Ah, maybe it must have been a very special fruit. Was it an apple tree? A cherry tree? It must have been a very special fruit. And then the mystery of the rosary came back. Elizabeth, she visits her cousin Elizabeth, and she's filled with the Holy Spirit. And she looks at the Blessed Mother, and she cries out in a loud voice, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. I'm like, fruit? I go, Blessed Mother, it's you.
Beautiful.
You, it's you. You're the tree of life. And the fruit that we're to eat to live forever, that the whole world is looking for, it's your Son, Jesus Christ, particularly the Eucharist, the Holy Communion. And I remember, just imagine her floating around in the cloud in the room, and I was just looking at her for so long, just in awe, just going, oh. I was just in wonder with the inspiration of God. So at last, I found you.
Beautiful, beautiful stuff, Guy. This is an amazing conversation, and I am just so captivated sitting here listening to you. I'm sure listeners at home are too. I'm sure driving around in the car, they're just captivated by your story, and they want so much more now. I mean, I want so much more now just from listening to your story. And you offer these pilgrimages almost year-round, I guess, for totally yours. And I want to extend the generous offer that you gave to WSFI just right before the program. You told us that any 2016 international trip, anybody that calls us and mentions that they heard about Totally Yours on WSFI will receive $100 off their international trip. So how cool is that? You can have an experience. And by the way, on this ticket, on this voucher, it says, what will your story be? Guy's story is incredible, but we can't wait to pass that along to a few of the listeners. And that's amazing.
Very good. And that's what we find out. It started out with just one trip, and then after a while went back, and then all of a sudden friends go, come on, let's go another time. And eventually we end up splitting off to see John Paul II. And that's how it's Totally Yours started then. And just people like yourself from the prayer groups, they go, hey, we want that experience too. We want to go too. And then it was 2 a year, 3 a year. Now it's 12 a year. So, and you put somebody in a shower, they get wet. You bring them to some of these shrines, and they get a lot of life-changing graces. So that's what we're doing. We entrust everything to Jesus, to Mary, for the glory of God. And that's why we're totus tuus, totally yours.
Totally yours. And thank you so much, Guy, for being here. I want to give out your website for listeners, medj1.com. MEDJ1.com is your website, and they can go on, find all about the trips, find about some of the conferences that you have locally as well. And then you also, if you want to get in touch with Guy at Totally Yours and give them a call, their number is 630-279-8424, 630-279-8424. So, Guy, thank you so much for sharing this amazing journey with our listeners. It's been a pleasure having you on the air again. Just an amazing guy. I hope you'll come back again and again and again for us.
All right. Thank you, Bill. It's been great to be here.
So this has been an episode of WSFI Spotlight. Until next time, from all of us at WSFI Catholic Radio, I'm Bill Snyder. God bless.
This has been WSFI Spotlight. For more information on this or any other program, email info at WSFIradio.com. www.shipyardrasses.org.